John Batzler with Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution. His book is The Dying Citizen. Who administers the state? Victor devotes a good deal of attention to the unelected, sometimes known as the administrative state. It's also a way of thinking about people who are beyond correction because they are empowered by the executive branch or the judiciary branch or sometimes by Congress. Victor, the unelected are everywhere all around us. You had so many examples, but the one I celebrate is the raisin industry. Your 120-acre farm in the Central Valley. As of 1983, you were farming raisins. But did I know that there is something called the Raisin Administration Committee? What is that, and what does it mean about being the unelected?
It's a Depression-era relic to set prices for raisins. And the way it works is you don't own the grapevines on your own property if they produce raisins. And most varieties, they're single varieties. So if you have a raisin variety grape, then the government owns it. What that means is when you cut the grapes and you put them on the ground and you dry them on paper trays, or now they do it on the vine, and you collect them, you stack them in your yard and you truck them to a processor that washes and stems them. But the government says they own those raisins and they will arbitrarily decide what percentage will be sold in the United States. They call that free tonnage. And then reserve tonnage will be kept off the American market. And that means it can be given away as food for peace, or it can be given to disaster areas, or it can be given to cattle, or it can be destroyed. But if you take your raisins and you say, you know what, they're my raisins, I own the property, I did the work, I am going to stem them and wash them and sell them myself to a super, they will fine you or put you in jail because you did not take up, you don't have a federally granted reserve tonnage in your yard, your barn, your shed. And they do enforce it, John. They put a lot of people into very expensive litigation and fines and threatened jail time and et cetera.
So they're raisin police. You know, Orwell didn't know about this. Animal Farm could have used this one. Raisin police.
Absolutely.
Now, we talk about this because we can smile, although it's hard to believe that the state owns the fruit of a man's labor. But we come to a term that is commonplace these days. Where does it come from? The term is deep state. The quote that is in Victor's book is from John McLaughlin, whom I remember was a senior member of the CIA during the crisis of 9/11. Thank God for the deep state. What's he talking about, Victor? Thank God for the deep state.
Well, he's talking about the permanent investigative bureaucratic class. That means the people who go to work for the government, they stay at work in the government. They master the corpus of government bureaucratic law, language, expertise, and they have contempt for the people who hire them, i.e. the Congress. So they know more about the IRS or the DOJ or the CIA or the FBI or the Pentagon than a congressperson. And their attitude is, well, this congresswoman will be gone in 2 years or 8 years. This senator will be gone in 6 years or 12, but I will stay. And I have judge, jury, and executioner power. If I want to go out and hound somebody, I can bankrupt them through litigation because I have the powers of the federal government behind me. And I am exempt from audit, and I'm exempt from any examination of my behavior. If I'm in the FBI and I'm Andrew McCabe and I lie four times to federal investigators, I'm not worried about facing any consequences. If I'm James Comey and I plead amnesia 245 times under oath, I will not face consequences as you, John, or I would if we tried that with an IRS investigator.
Right. What is the connection between McLaughlin celebrating the deep state and La Resistance? What is that?
La Resistance was kind of a hokey term that grew up almost immediately after Donald Trump was elected. Hillary Clinton declared she was a member of it, and it was an allusion to the Maquis in occupied France that was fighting the Nazi coalition with Vichy, and they felt the resistance were people who blew up Nazi limousines or shot Vichy diplomats. So what they were saying was that Donald Trump is a Nazi-like figure and we are heroic French resistors. And everybody, I mean, we had Kevin Kleinsmith, an FBI agent who would later achieve infamy by doctoring a piece of evidence and trying to delude a federal court to surveil Carter Page, who pled guilty to a felony. He said he was a member of the resistance. And it was all sorts of people flocked to this idea. We had a person called Anonymous, who the New York Times misled us by saying that he was a major figure in the Trump administration. He was actually a minor figure in Homeland Security. But he published an op-ed where he said that we are deliberately trying to resist the implementation of Donald Trump's executive orders. We had the chairman of the Joint Chiefs in a resistance fashion say that he felt that Donald Trump, according to his own medical diagnosis, was unstable. And therefore, if he should ever receive an order to put us on a high nuclear alert, he would first contact his Chinese counterpart in the PLA in Beijing and warn him. So these were all forms of resistance that these lifetime government servants felt was moral, legitimate, legal on their part to undermine an elected government. And it could involve Russian collusion, the laptop disinformation, the ping pong Alpha Bank fable, anything. But they were all trying to use extraordinary means. I'll just finish very quickly with I think the seminal essay was Rosa Brooks, 11 days into the administration, foreign policy. She writes an article and says she was a lawyer in the Pentagon for the Obama administration. She says, this man is intolerable. There's only three ways to get rid of him. One, impeachment takes too long. Two, 25th Amendment, non compos mentis, takes too long. Three, I can't believe I'm going to say it, she said, but a military coup.
Professor Brooks teaches at Georgetown Law School, educated at Harvard, educated at Oxford, educated at Yale. That describes the resume of the unelected in Washington, our seniors. And to go back to the citizen, the unelected are indifferent to citizens or hostile to citizens? Do they have an opinion, Victor? We have about a minute.
They have contempt, and they say it. And you can see it very easily. If you look at the trove of the Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, commentaries. They say, they quote Andrew McCabe, said, don't worry about the election. Andy's going to ensure that he's never going to get elected, i.e. Trump. And then they said, you know, when you walk into Walmart, you can smell the Trump supporters. And so that was a good snapshot into what this unelected feels about the people that they're hired. James Comey said, you know, usually we have to ask permission to interview a designate cabinet official, but these Trump people were so amateurs that we just walked right in and set up basically an ambush of Michael Flynn. And they were so stupid, they let us do it. He didn't even have a lawyer.
The book is The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism, and Globalization Are Destroying the Idea of America. Professor Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.